to those who's going through something right now. Don't know which way to turn. Yeah, sleepless nights, crying all night long.
It's gonna be alright, Jesus, he will visit.
Yeah, whatever it is, he'll fix it.
TFM 88.1 Gina Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport, 98.9 Monroe West Monroe, 100.1 Lake Charles, and KQJO FM 99.3 St. Joseph Louisiana, Natchez Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
Ready to have a little church.
I'm Reverend Stanley Mathis, senior pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family-serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God.
Baffles me, because why is it that she couldn't be called Rahab of Jericho? They identified her as a harlot. All through the Bible, she's identified not as Rahab of Jericho, but Rahab the harlot. But God, that conjunction means something is about to be said, was not concerned with her reputation. God was concerned about her salvation. But God ain't concerned about your reputation. God is concerned about your salvation. Jesus wasn't concerned about the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the drug dealers or those that drunk wine. He was concerned about their salvation. The only folk that's concerned about your salvation are the folk that ought to be concerned about theirs. They so busy looking at your reputation, they can't see their own reputation. The Lord is simply saying, I'm not concerned about Rahab's salvation, because I'm not concerned about her reputation. I'm concerned about her salvation, because I did not come to save those that are righteous. I came to save those that were sick. But we're concerned about a person's reputation. Oh, that's a bad person. We're all exes. Before you came to know the Lord, you were ex something. We all had a reputation before we came to have a relationship with the Lord. And even now, we sometimes slip back into some of them exes. But God doesn't see us in our bad stuff. He sees the possibility of changing us to make us conform to his image. And when you conform to his image, you begin to look just like him. And the more you look just like him, the more you act just like him. And so the scripture tells us there were a whole bunch of men who were ruthless and had bad reputation. Check out Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a bad man. He was really bad. He killed a whole lot of people, and he had no compassion for them. But I'm remembered that Nebuchadnezzar, before he left, said, I believe in the God of Daniel, and that tells me I don't care how bad you are. That was a thief on the cross, had a bad reputation. But I know that he said, this man has done nothing. He said, remember me when you go into your kingdom. That man had a bad reputation. The Lord wasn't interested in his reputation. He was interested in his salvation. And I'm trying to get a point across to you. God ain't concerned about your reputation. He's concerned about your salvation. That's the very reason why he came into this world. Saul had a bad reputation. Became Paul. And he wrote one third of the New Testament. How can a man with a bad reputation write what we preach today? Because the Lord had, he had an experience with God on the Damascus Road. Antioch, we have shared how God seeks us out for salvation. We don't seek him, he seeks us. And the reason for that is that God knows the content and the character of our heart. So God, moving in a mysterious way, brought together two spies of the army of Israel and a harlot of Canaan who would become a new convert to the children, to the God of Israel. This in no way questioned the righteousness of God, who can use any person in the fulfillment of his purpose. What we witness in this story serves to let us see God's mercy and God's grace. And his mercy and his grace was being demonstrated by his second covenant. Rahab's story really is unique. Not because she was a prostitute, but because she was a prostitute that would express her belief in God. Let's see why. And Rahab's belief was more than the people who claim to belong to God. See, we can be in church and not really have a belief. We are told these two spies had been discovered in the land and the king wanted to kill them. So in their attempt to evade their death, they came upon Rahab, that harlot, that bad woman. We could say they were led here. Why? The same God who led the children of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night was still guiding his Israelites. And God is still guiding and leading us. Even though sometimes we don't look like him, even sometimes we don't respond the way he would want us to respond, God is still guiding our footsteps. And God knows how to steer us. God knows how to direct us. And God knows how to guide us and protect us. All we have to do is follow him. Rahab placed her faith and her trust in what she heard about God. And when she heard about the children of Israel, and that was enough for her to be willing to put her life on the line. See, when you hear about the Lord, you begin to trust him and you surrender your life to him. And now you put your life on the line because the world hates you. Because now you're different from the world and the world position. And because you're different, the enemy desire to kill, to steal, and to destroy us. But the Lord says, I'm guiding you. And I'm going to guide you around the obstacles of life. And I'm going to guide you around all of the things that seem to be so insurmountable. Because I already told you, lo, I'm with you always. The Lord was guiding and steering and directing the people. And we see what God was doing. We see here that these two men who have come to spy out the land, we see how Rahab came in contact with them and she hid them in her dwelling place. And so when the king's men came to find them, she said, they were here, but they're gone. And maybe if you go after them, you can catch them before they escape. I'm paraphrasing it. And what she was doing was protecting him from death. See, God has a way, when you're a child of God, he has a way of protecting you from death, protecting you from danger, protecting you, guiding you around stuff. It wasn't an accident that those two spies was led into her presence. It was God directing them into her presence. We see here that God was also about to implement something. We see that these men made an agreement, but there was two conditions to the agreement. First, she must keep a red cord hanging outside her window on the city wall. Because she had protected them and because she had steered the king's men from killing them, she came into a covenant agreement with these two spies that they would protect her by the object of a red card hanging outside her window would be the sign for them to know. And we see, secondly, she must have her father and her mother and her sister and her brother and all her family with her in the house when they came to conquer the city. Rahab, we're going to bypass you, but in order for us to identify you, we need to see this red cord so that we could pass you by and save your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, and all that's in your house, because we're going to take the city. My brothers and sisters, this was a covenant agreement made between two parties. The red cord. Let's go back to the 10 plagues that fell upon Egypt. Moses told the people to cover the house with, somebody heard it. Blood was placed over the doorposts of their house. What color is blood? There it is. Isn't it amazing how what was happening in Egypt as the death angel, as destruction was about to take over the children of Israel, God said, I will protect you by the blood. When the children of Israel was about to take over the land and go into Canaan and go into Jericho, they said, if you just put a red card outside, I will pass by your house and death won't hit your house. The same concept that they had coming out of Egypt was still following them as they was about to go in the promised land, and you're about to miss your shout because the same promise that the Lord said, I'm covering you with my blood will cover and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you get caught up in the Lord and when his blood covered you, God the Father said, I'm bypassing my judgment on you because I don't see sin in your life. I see the righteousness of my son over you. My brothers and sisters, it was the blood that covered them. That red car identified the death, the military to pass by, and it was the blood that covers us that allowed God to say, not this one, because the price has already been paid. My brothers and sisters, Hebrews 9:22 states, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. That blood covered them and cleansed them. When we think about what God is doing, and we think about what he has done today, the covenant that God had is an everlasting covenant. And we have a new covenant with the Lord God. And that new covenant is a promise that God will make mankind. He will make with mankind. That he will forgive sin and restore fellowship with those whose heart has been turned towards him. And Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. And his death on the cross is the basis of that promise. Luke 22 and 20 states, and in the same way he, Jesus, took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is